Good afternoon. Happy Sabbath. Yeah, once again, here we are on God's holy Sabbath and at the end of another year. Tomorrow will start a new year. And once again, in the not too distant future, we'll have the spring holy days all over again. So here we go. Jesus Christ is well known as the carpenter from Nazareth, a trade likely taught to him by his human father, Joseph. He's been depicted as such in many different ways over the years, in various writings and dramas. However, it is assumed many times that his activities were limited to those of a carpenter. But a close study of the scriptures reveal just a little bit more than that. When referring to him at his return to Nazareth, the people question one another, asking themselves, "Is this not the carpenter's son?" This word carpenter in the Greek is tekton, T-E-K-T-O-N, and is more accurately translated as a builder or engineer. It can and does include rough carpentry, framing, woodworking, but it's not limited to that. In that culture, a tekton could not only build, but could design and supervise large construction projects, such as entire buildings, bridges, or perhaps even a temple. A man in this field would be expected to have experience in solving design problems, foundation problems, be experienced in masonry and stonework, as well as skills in carpentry. This is further evidenced in the scriptures by the parables of Jesus Christ, which did not refer to mere woodworking, but oftentimes described the designing and construction of entire buildings. These are described in such detail as to reveal a man with much hard-won experience in that field. Such a man in Jesus' day would be called in the Aramaic as Nagar, or a master in that language of the craft, a builder, a master builder. The title today is Building Our Spiritual House, and we'll briefly cover 2 points. First, what according to the scriptures is required for the construction of our spiritual house? And second, how do we proceed? Do the scriptures tell us how to proceed with the building of our spiritual house? The scriptures have quite a bit to say about this subject. Concerning any building project, there are certain things that are an absolute necessity. The first of all, one must have a plan of some kind. In Luke 14, we are instructed by the words of Jesus Christ to think and plan, to carefully consider what we are about to do, and to count the cost of building as we come to God and embark on this undertaking. Next, a builder needs a location. These two are revealed in the words of Jesus Christ because a building location is very important. Not all soil is safe to build on. As an example, the local soil here in Georgia contains a lot of clay, which is excellent for building. In other locations, swampland is not good for building at all. Soil with a lot of sand on it is problematic for a builder. If you would please turn to Matthew chapter 7. For our spiritual house, we're provided the best building location possible. That is a rock. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them would be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did fall, and great was its fall. Next on the builder's list is the construction of a foundation. A foundation must be constructed with the utmost care to make certain it is sturdy and square and true. Any builder knows a foundation that is not true or out of square will cause greater problems as the construction on the building continues, and any errors in the foundation will be magnified throughout the structure. So why are we here today talking about buildings and builders, materials, and foundations? What could any of that have to do with our lives today? The symbol of a house or building representative of the lives we have and live, being founded upon the rock, represents our dependence on Jesus Christ as Savior and Redeemer, as well as our living High Priest who ministers to our needs. If you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. If you would now turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you've tasted the Lord is gracious, coming to him as living stone, here we are, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the chief cornerstone. If you would please now turn to Hebrews chapter 6. A sure foundation fastened to this rock is representative of revealed truths we have received, which are indeed the foundation of our lives. Certain parts and components of a building or house may change or be replaced here and there, but the foundation, if properly fixed, will not change. Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, toward the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. We are instructed here for our building not just to stop at the foundation, but to continue building and going on to perfection. It's fitting that Jesus Christ is spoken of as the chief cornerstone, or as in the Old Testament, the Old King James, the head of the corner. A builder of foundations will always begin in a corner because he knows once the corners are fixed and square, the remainder of the foundation will easily follow. So now we know our spiritual house is founded upon the most solid material available, the rock. We also know the foundation of our belief system is truth, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of these beliefs. If you would please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So what now? Our foundation is complete. Do the Scriptures offer us further advice on the building of our spiritual house? We find here that Jesus Christ not only provides the location and the foundation, but the rest of the building materials as well. Beginning in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 9. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. For those who may say of us that we believe in earning salvation, note here that the grace of God follows before anything else. A wise master builder, in the Greek this is architekton, architekton. Master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. We're given a choice here what building materials we may use. And they are in two categories, those which are easily consumed by fire and those which are purified by fire. The precious things of God are represented by the gold, silver, and precious stones. The wood, the hay, and the stubble or the straw are the things of this world, which are easily consumed by fire. Verse 12. Now, if any builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. In this message today, we find that God has provided almost everything needed for a sound spiritual house, one that will withstand everything that Satan's world can throw against it. That God will not do the construction for us. He provides everything needed. He provides adequate help, but we must do the work of the actual building. In Matthew 7, we were instructed to take care that we build our house on the rock and not the sand, the reason being that we are to expect storms in the future. It's worthy to mention that storms mentioned by Jesus Christ beat on both houses, both the house fixed to the rock as well as the foolish house built on the sand. We are also advised to prepare for a final inspection of our house to see whether it's fit for habitation. Every builder of a house expects his work to undergo a test or inspection. We are told that our test or final inspection will be by fire, as described by Paul, to see if those things that we have built will stand for eternity. If God the Father and Jesus Christ were to look on us today, what would they see? Would they see a firm foundation? Would they see us firmly fixed to the rock of our salvation, our Redeemer? Would they find a fit house constructed from precious materials provided by God Himself, gold, silver, and precious stones? Or would they find cheaper materials in place? Would they find perhaps a foundation laid with a large pile of materials off to the side with very little activity? Would they see a people steadily at work preparing for the storms ahead? We're in the last days. There's very little doubt about that. Each day passes brings us closer to the events prophesied in the scriptures, closer to the storms spoken of by Jesus Christ. As good and faithful servants, let us follow the plan of our master builder, Jesus Christ, and zealously attend to our spiritual house. So it may be said of us that which is written, that we may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand.